Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Tops, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump Topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. Oh, man, week 7, a lot of fun. I'm here with my co-host, Tyler Gunther and Tim Keller. Tyler, are you surviving out there in single dad land?
It's been something new. I will tell you that much. I got both my kids for about 6 days. The wife returns Tuesday afternoon. But man, I will tell you what, it feels good banking up those free hours, kind of the frequent flyer miles, except the dad hours being alone. I'm banking those up. I'm planning a nice trip. Maybe the fantasy event in Texas next summer. Who knows? Ooh. So I am definitely banking these, putting these in my back pocket, and using them as a little ammo for whenever I need them.
Tim, you got any banked days for fun guy activities in your pocket, or what's going on over there?
No, I don't think there's any sort of exchange rate in this household, really.
Tim's like, I use those all to go get cheesesteaks.
Yeah, the wife lets me know that I need to do more on a pretty regular basis.
Nice. My wife's traveling to San Diego.
San Diego.
Yeah,
I think that means whale's vagina.
Whale's vagina, absolutely. So she's out to San Diego Tuesday through Friday. So I told her my weekend was like, all right, Sunday, I just want to kind of be on my own. Just leave me alone. And she did. She was good. Like, I went over to my aunt's house and watched football all day with my cousin and his friend. And yeah, I just got to be left alone and watch football up until about 6 o'clock. So it was very relaxing. So that was my buildup. And then I will try the same exact routine next Sunday, because I'll be like, honey, I just had me and the boy for like 4 days. Like, I got to take another Sunday off. I'm going to try to extend it into back-to-back weekends.
Now, was this added with the London game? Did you get to watch that as well?
I did. She went to the gym and ran some errands, and she went to pick up some maternity clothes from a Facebook marketplace person. So she got most of the morning by herself until about 11 o'clock or so.
No, that's just greedy on her part. Don't tell her I said that.
She doesn't listen. I make some exceptions. So you know what? I took one for the team on that and then just enjoyed the rest of my day. We've got a lot of things going on this week. We've got a trade in the NFL, which made Twitter a buzz, with especially Dynasty Twitter. We've got some trade rumors going on. We've got some injuries. If you own running backs, it's getting slimmy out there. And then we're going to bring you – we got a little bit of college news, and then we're going to bring you some of our observations from Week 7. So let's jump right into it. The big trade, Carlos Hyde, gets traded from the Cleveland Browns to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a fifth-round pick. So immediately everyone has this sweatpant boner for Nick Chubb. They have a Chubb for Chubb, if you will. And everyone is popping off on Twitter like, Nick Chubb the GOAT, Nick Chubb, I spent the number two pick on Nick Chubb, awesome.
And where are you going with this? Because it sounds like everything you're saying is correct.
Yeah, like,
there's nothing wrong.
This all does factually check out.
Yeah, I mean, he looked pretty good today against a Tampa team that's not very good. I was hoping
they are good against the run.
Yeah, well, Jerry McCoy was out.
They also lost Kwon Alexander to a torn ACL, it looks like, and he's their best linebacker. That might be a little fire take because Levante David is good, but
no, Kwon is the best Kwon-on-Kwon tackler.
What if we had a Quan on Saquon tackle? A Quan on Saquon tackle? Would that be decent? Quan on Quan? Would that be Quantum Leap? Are we talking Quantum Tim? Isn't that Tim Turner? What's going on here? Quantum Edge? Where is Elliot? He's been on this podcast before. I can keep going.
That's not a Quans. Laquans.
Laquan Treadwell?
Now we're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, yeah. We're done.
We need to go.
Tim, what was your thoughts on both sides of the ball when you saw that Hyde was dealt to Jacksonville? What was your initial reaction?
My immediate reaction, because of being such a big Chubb believer and a fan of the Chubb.
Team Big Chubb.
I was extremely happy because I have him on so many teams that I would now have an opportunity to possibly use him this week and going forward. But then my very second thought is, how bad is Fournette? Are they not telling us everything about this injury? Because bringing in a guy like Hyde, who he's been serviceable but not great this year, makes me think that the Jaguars at least believe that Fournette is going to be on the sidelines a little bit longer than we probably originally expected.
Yeah, I think Papa Coughlin is probably a little upset that Fournette can't be in the coal miner area with all the other workers. Is probably what he's thinking. I mean, he needs as many people on the field as possible, and the fact that Fournette is not healthy to do so, I think Coughlin's just like a no BS type guy, and he's like, well, if you're not healthy, and I think a lot of it has to do with Yeldon kind of being beat the crap up. I mean, Yeldon has been hurt. And I think he's been hurt worse than what everybody's coming off. But Yeldon plays. Fournette's the one that's, my leg.
My ankle.
My ankle. But I think Yeldon's hurt more, and that's, I think, the reason why they brought in Hyde, because Corey Grant's lost. I think the running back depth, they didn't trust Brandon Wilds. Who? And I think that is a big reason. It was a fifth-round pick, so it's not... Tim's laughing, and I feel like there's something to do with Wilds. But anywho, I think that's one of the reasons why, is because it's more Yeldon being hurt. But yeah, Fournette worries me, and I made two. I traded Fournette twice, actually three times in three different leagues within a week.
You are all out on Fournette. I think I'm definitely all out on Carlos Hyde and his dynasty value.
You're hiding?
Yeah, I'm hiding, and I'm not seeking to acquire Carlos Hyde. I think he's done from a dynasty perspective. You can trade him and get maybe someone would give you like a mid to late second round pick. I would probably jump at that, because Carlos Hyde, you know, he goes to Jacksonville where we know Fournette is. He's signed for another year. They could cut him because I think that contract is pretty much they can get out of it after this year. But I mean, is he going to go somewhere and flourish? Like, I just don't know. I mean, he had a couple good games for the Browns, but after that, he looked relatively average.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, Cleveland got rid of him a little too easy after being pretty productive. Cleveland kind of
fifth, right?
It was just a fifth.
Yeah. Just a fifth.
And
yeah.
He's reasonably priced. I think he's $5 million a year or so. So I mean, he's not super expensive by any means.
I think
the industry belief was Hyde was gone after this year from Cleveland.
Right.
But yeah. Now that he's in Jacksonville, I mean, I feel the same way.
They might hang on to him now. They might not cut him because Fournette has continuous lower body injuries.
Yeah, that's true.
And
Hyde
Tyler
might be onto it. I mean, Papa Coughlin needs as many running backs as he can possibly get, because he sees what we've all been seeing for years, and that's they have a pretty bad quarterback. So,
They benched Blake Bortles today for Cody Kessler. And here's the thing: what the Jacksonville Jaguars want to do is they want to run the ball 25 to 30 times a game. Blake Bortles is a game manager. Play good defense. Well, guess what? They're not running the ball effectively. They're not playing good defense. And Blake Bortles sucks, and they put in Cody Kessler. So this Jacksonville team that was just in the AFC Championship, that beat New England in week 2 or 3 or whatever it was, looks like a completely different team now. And they are just – they're struggling to keep their heads above water in the South.
My favorite meme I've seen is a buddy of mine sent it, and it was a Scooby-Doo one. And they're just about to pull the mask off, and the mask had the new Jaguars logo on it. And they pull the mask off, and it's the old Jaguars logo.
Oh, man.
It's so good.
That's kind of like the Spider-Man one a little bit. Where they're pointing
at each other. And man, it's tough to watch, because that defense, they didn't lose anybody on defense. I almost felt like it got better. Yep. And it's a disaster. Nobody's working.
The only player they lost was Puzlesny.
Which maybe he was the glue that molded him, the veteran leadership.
Maybe. So I think it's going to be interesting because the trade deadline's coming up. There's been rumors out of Cleveland that they might potentially use some TNT and blow this thing up. You know, Hugh Jackson might, by the time we talk next week, Hugh Jackson might lose his job. I think they might trade some players. You know, between the Cleveland Browns, it seems like the Oakland Raiders are ready to blow it up too. There's all sorts of rumors of Amari Cooper being on the block, and supposedly Dallas is calling them and asking about Amari Cooper.
Good fit.
You know, we could see Buffalo potentially blow it up because they're just terrible. So I think there's going to be four or five teams that are going to be pretty aggressive when it comes to the trading deadline this year. You know, teams are already preparing for this. The New England Patriots just restructured Stephon Gilmore, so they're saving like $3.5 million on the cap. Now they have some opportunities to get some players on defense, which they need, and they had a big injury, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But, yeah, what do you guys think about Amari Cooper? I know we've talked in the past of where he wants to go. Would this be an upgrade for Amari Cooper to go to Dallas? Or are you just like, nah, I'm done? Like, Dak Prescott isn't going to get it done.
Yes, and honestly, my two favorite spots are Dallas and watching the Jets play today. The Jets, he would be perfect with. I think he could grow with Darnold. Darnold is a far better quarterback than Carr is.
And Dak.
And Dak. Yeah. But man, just either one of those two teams. I think Michael Gallup took a huge step this week. He had
a nice move and he had a wide open touchdown, but I think we should pump the brakes. I know he looked good on one play, but
no, I wouldn't say one play. There's a lot of catches he made. There's one where he slid down to the ground.
He had three catches, Tyler.
There was one he slid to the ground, caught.
That's a lot, though.
Caught low.
For a Cowboys receiver, that is a lot.
You know what, Doug? No wet blankets here.
Oh,
we don't need any wet blankets.
Oh, I'm getting. I have my wet blanket segment ready, just on after this Cooper talk. So keep going.
I just feel like Doug might be a little salty because one of his team's players that he desperately likes went down today, Tim.
I like them. I don't desperately like.
Desperately, like
seeking.
Him.
Am I desperately seeking Susan by chance?
But no, Cooper. I do think getting out of Oakland is probably the best thing to do.
Yeah, and I think they could probably. Oakland is terrible at trades, so I think if Dallas were to offer a, I don't know, second rounder, they would probably do it. I mean, that's
they
what
don't
it's probably
the black
come
hole
to.
For nothing.
Oh, that team is a nightmare. And Marshawn Lynch is out for a month now, so now you have a Doug Martin, Jalen Richard. Like, just blow it up. That's what Gruden wants to do. He wants to blow the whole thing up and just
remember June, 10 years. Like June, July, when everybody's like, "What the hell are the Raiders doing?" This is what they were doing.
Just we had no idea. They signed a bunch of old veterans for nothing. And then, like, they looked at their young players. You know what? I don't like
these
guys.
They let their young talent walk.
I don't like these guys.
They let them walk.
That Mac guy? Yuck. Yeah. Get him out of here.
What's he been in the league for, like, 2 years, 3 years?
Franchise player. Yeah, whatever.
Next is going to be Gerrion Conley.
Yeah, they said he's on the training block too. They just spent I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, so here's my wet blanket segment. There are a couple other receivers in the rumor mill to get traded. Are you guys ready? Prepare your bodies. It's Calvin Benjamin and Devontae Parker.
If you combine the two, wet that would blanket be an dynasty insane, receivers. If you combine the two, that would be an insane wide receiver three.
Oh.
They'd actually have a healthy BMI if you combine the two, I think.
Yeah, actually, I think Kelvin's so far in the red, I think it'd still be slightly above.
It might lean. That's true. he's so bad. That'll be interesting. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin, he could be fantasy relevant again with a decent quarterback, I think. I mean, we all make fun of Kelvin Benjamin, but I think he could be fantasy relevant if he went to the right spot.
God, he is ungood.
He'd have to be a second or third option. Nowhere where he's going to have to be the lead man. He's so big,
he would be a second and third option.
True. But then he would draw double coverage, and that wouldn't be good.
I don't think they would need to double coverage on him.
Well, that is
put a defensive tackle on him.
I was just about to say, you throw like Grady Jarrett from Atlanta on him. He could keep up with him.
Yeah. Larry Ogunjobi from Cleveland. He's a beast.
Yeah.
Put him out in coverage. Lord. Let's do it.
See, we are great defensive minds. We should be. You can buy us
Kelvin Benjamin in the slot. Hey, get out of the tackle spot. You're not rushing. Go cover.
Combine us three, we could be a great defensive mind.
Yeah.
Mike Smith, defensive mind.
Oh, God. R.I.P. Buccaneers defense actually played a lot better this week without Mike Smith. So
that's weird.
So let's go over some injuries that happened this week. So going into this week, we already knew that Dalvin Cook was going to be out. He tried to practice, couldn't make it happen. His hamstring acted up again. So if you have Dalvin Cook in your team, I would still say he's a buy. I know Tyler's going to agree with me, and so is Tim. So we'll just keep going. Gronk missed this game. He was kind of a late scratch yesterday. And then the rumor was that he didn't even fly out to Chicago with a back injury. Everything points, I was listening to the local radio, everything points to he should be back next week without a problem. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. We knew Marshawn Lynch was going to miss a month with that groin injury. If you're in a PPR league and maybe Jalen Richard's available in your dynasty leagues, I would say pick him up. I think he's pretty valuable because they don't have much else there. Doug Martin, no thank you. Some of the injuries, we knew about Jamison Crowder, a leg injury, Chris Thompson missing this game. But we had a lot of injuries that happened today, so I'm going to kind of do a round robin of injuries, and then we can circle back and talk about some of the fallout on these guys. So Melvin Gordon had a hamstring injury. It was reported late last night that he may not play. I woke up early, 8:30, which isn't really early, but I woke up just to check my teams to make sure that Melvin Gordon was ruled out, and he was. So Austin Eckler got the start, mixed in a little Justin Jackson. They really didn't do anything. And then you've got injuries that happened in-game. LeSean McCoy went out early in the Indy game, in the early first quarter. He kind of jumped to avoid a tackle and landed on his dome, so it looks like he's probably got a concussion.
Yeah,
and
defender straight up did a DDP on him.
Yeah, the diamond cutter and took him out. So LeSean McCoy was out with a head injury, did not return. The biggest one is Sony Michel. So he went out with I think it's probably going to be a high ankle sprain. I don't think it was a knee injury. At least I'm hoping it's not a knee injury. But he missed the rest of the game, and he looked good right out of the gate. He had 3 first downs on the first drive. He had 2 first down runs. He caught a pass from Brady and went like 15 yards. And I was like, oh, man, Sony Michel is going to have a monster day. And then not so much. Sony Michel looks like he's going to miss a little bit of time here as well. We had Matt Breda getting injured again. No surprise there.
Oh,
that
God.
Seems
was
to
it
happen.
A severe injury? Like it looked like he was out for season.
His ankle.
Yeah, it was like a sprained ankle. But I think Matt Breda is the circle of trust. He is on the outside looking in as far as his health goes. So a situation to keep an eye on there. Bilal Powell went out with a neck injury. Albert Wilson with a leg injury early in the game, and then he was ruled out for the rest of the day. And then we had Kiki QT with a hamstring injury, and he's already been ruled out for Thursday night's game from Bill O'Brien.
Will Fuller.
Yeah, Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins, who totally waxed Jalen Ramsey on that touchdown. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I was like, oh.
I saw the one-handed grab, and I was like,
I saw that too. Yeah, Hopkins is just, he's too good. He's just too good.
He's good. Very good.
He's elite, as they say.
Will Fuller is also very good, so get off my lawn with the he's bad.
I like Will Fuller. I mean, he's inconsistent, but I like Will Fuller. So let's circle around. I think obviously the biggest injury here, the Melvin Gordon hammy, they have a bye next week. So it looks like he's going to be able to heal up. And that was part of their plan. It looks like that Anthony Lynn said that they wanted to get him healed up through the bye. So Melvin Gordon should be fine. Did you guys see anything that you liked out of Eckler in a lead role or anything out of Justin Jackson?
No.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of disappointed with Eckler in the lead role.
Me too.
You know, especially with the news and then going and moving him up, especially in like redraft leagues, putting him up in certain lineups, expecting that big Melvin Gordon-esque 22-point game.
Like
or
he's
going like
to be
that,
an RB1.
Not
getting it. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Because as that RB2, he's played very well. He's put up very good points as an RB2. So
he's perfect in that complimentary, that satellite back type of role, but he's just not a 20-touch guy. That's pretty much what I've decided on Austin Eckler.
I want to circle back to Bilal Powell.
Sure.
Elijah McGuire.
Ooh, he's coming back soon.
If he is a free agent, pick him up. I think he's ultra talented. They like him there. I honestly think he could eat in the Crowell's work. I know Crowell has actually played pretty well. I like what I've seen out of Crowell.
Every other week, Crowell seems to be good.
But Elijah McGuire is a guy that can do everything.
I like Trenton Cannon, too.
Yeah, he's more of a straight line guy. I mean, he can't move left and right. He can't move laterally.
I think physically he can move left to right.
Well, what if you say that and you go up to him
and
he's like, no, seriously, I
can't. Right.
I can't go left
right. He's just like a 2x4.
He's got to have somebody.
He's got to waddle back and forth to move.
That's why he has somebody run with him to like give him a nudge.
Yeah.
But Elijah McGuire is a guy
the fullback lines up behind him instead of in front of him.
Yes.
Just guides him through the hole. Now run, buddy. Straight ahead.
Go.
I'd love to see that.
Run, Forrest.
So, yeah, he's a guy that you should go check and pick up. I know I've stashed him on IR and taxi squads in a lot of spots, but he's a good player, and he's a guy that could be a good boost for your team in the second half.
Yeah, I'm interested to see with this Sony Michel injury. So we obviously see James White get a ton of usage. Yep. He scored a couple touchdowns today. I mean, James White's been one of the biggest dynasty values that's come about this season at the running back position, especially PPR formats. So the backup to Sony Michel was Kenyon Barner, who's probably available.
And he's going
to
be a
hot. He's going to be a hot pickup because he's a New England Patriots running back. Look for them to possibly sign Ralph Webb from their practice squad and put him on the roster. He had a really promising preseason. I don't know if they're going to make a move, and maybe they'll go out and sign Mike Gillisley, and we'll all just yawn. Or they'll maybe trade for Ameer Abdullah.
Oh,
I would like that.
Can you just imagine Abdullah getting another boost? Like another trade opportunity.
Yeah. I could finally sell my last share.
Yeah.
Because I can't sell it.
That's when you go look on your team and see if Doug is in any of your leagues or any Patriot fan and be like, all right, who am I trading
him to? I'm not a homer
to?
With my teams, though. That's the thing.
It's like on Waterboy when they're doing the onside kick and they're looking at the guy's faces like, all right, who's my bitch? And then the guy's all nervous. That's the trade partner you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean that's a good dynasty rule is that if you're in like the Indianapolis area and a Colt comes out of nowhere and you're like, oh, you know, go trade him to the homer guy. That's
Marlon Mack, trade him for 3 first.
Oh god. Yeah. And we might talk about him later. I'm interested to see what the Patriots are going to do at the running back position. You know, there's not a lot out there in terms of free agency. They did have Orleans Darkwa in during the process, so that's a guy that's kind of been worked out by a bunch of teams but hasn't landed anywhere. So they have worked him out in the past, as well as some other guys. I mean, they did work out Alfred Morris before he signed with the Niners. But yeah, I mean, Mike Gillisley, they've been in contact with supposedly, so maybe Gillisley comes back. I don't know. I'm not really worried about it. It just ups the value of James White, is the way it looks like. And James White just almost never gets hurt, so he's a rock steady.
He gets traded from the Bills.
You could see it. I mean, it's going to be hard to trade him if he's got a concussion and he's going to miss time. But I could. I mean, why would they want to hang on to LeSean McCoy? They're not winning anything. He's 30 years old. Like, try to flip him for a third or fourth. You know, so that could happen. Any other feedback here or observations from the injury front before we move on?
I'm just sad for Breda. The guy keeps flashing talent, and he's just going to be one of those guys that's constantly hurt.
Tyler, anything?
I'm sorry. What?
Oh, you were trying to listen for your kids, weren't you?
Yeah, that's the loveliness of being the only
single
parent
dad
in
life.
The house.
Word. All right, so we're going to move on to some college news. Just one thing. We didn't really watch a lot of college this weekend, but I will tell you, Florida State won bigly over Wake Forest. DeAndre Francois, I'm telling you, super flex. If you're in a Devy league, you could probably get him cheap, or maybe you draft him and you get him cheap. I think he looks like he could be a decent pro at the NFL level. Maybe it's just my Florida State homerism coming out.
He's grown up a lot. That's a feel I've gotten from him is he's just a mature quarterback. If he's a game manager in the NFL, which I wouldn't mind.
I think he could be more than that.
He could be an Alex Smith plus.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a cannon. I just think he could be an interesting pro prospect. I mean, when guys like E.J. Manuel from Florida State, he's 10 times better than E.J. Manuel was at FSU.
Agreed. My left foot is.
Yeah, so I'm going to be interested to see with DeAndre Francois, so keep an eye on that. Cam Akers had a decent game. And Nyquan Murray, who's an interesting prospect, he's a little bit smaller, but he's kind of a shifty guy, not necessarily to compare him to Antonio Brown, but there's some routes that he runs that kind of reminds me a little bit about him. So
I love his name. God, Nyquan.
Nooney is his nickname. So, Tyler, you've got some news out of Oregon that's big news for your super flexers out there.
Yeah, it sounds like Justin Herbert.
Herbert. Herbert.
He is possibly staying in school, which would ruin a lot of super flex leagues, drafts. Mm-hmm. He is the head and shoulders top quarterback. According to Matt Miller, a lot of teams see him like Jared Goff a guy that they have been super pumped to come into the draft for years. And it looks like they're going to have to wait another year with where he would be coming out with like Tua. And it looks like Jake Fromm. So he'd be in that class, a very good quarterback class. So I don't know if it's true, and it would kind of shock me the fact that he is locked and loaded top quarterback, and he would want to stay and go into a bigger quarterback class, a class that will be better. I just think it hurt him, so we will see. I don't know if I believe it or not, but that is the rumors coming out that he is staying.
Yeah,
is this based solely on the loss they took?
I think it's just based off of him wanting to stay in school.
Here's the thing. I think if he's going to come out in the same class as Tua and Fromm, and the possibility of him not being the number one pick, I think the pressure is going to be on. And if he gets the buzz is like, oh, man, you're going to be the best QB in this class. You could go number one overall to, I don't know, the Giants per se. I think that he'll probably end up coming out because very rarely do we see a quarterback that decides to stay in.
Luck would probably be the best example. A quarterback that was supposed to go to Carolina at one.
Yeah.
He opted not to, and they took Cam Newton. Ended up just fine.
And it worked out just fine. They went to a Super Bowl, and you know, Cam dodged a loose fumble, and they lost. I mean, whatever. But yeah, I think that the pressure might be a little too heavy on him when it actually comes time to declare. And I personally think he'll end up declaring because the pressure will be there. But
and honestly, going to New York would be a great landing spot. They have all the weapons in the
Beckham,
world.
Beckham, Saquon, Ingram. Like, why would you not want to go there as a quarterback?
I would go play quarterback. Like, sign me up.
If they called me right now, I'd be like, I'll do it for free. No, I probably wouldn't do it for free. I'd probably get my teeth kicked in. I'd probably need some sort of money.
You wouldn't do it for free. You'd start talking about your great flag football career. How much money?
Oh, there it is. Yes.
Bringing it back. That is awesome.
I do have quite the right arm. You should see some of my old flag football footage.
Cannon. I have a Trenton cannon.
Oh, my God. That is so good.
I love it. That just made my night. Thank
Can
you
we get trading cards of Doug?
Flag football?
It looks like Uncle Rico.
Yeah, with stats.
That would be amazing. I don't know if we never actually kept stats, but it's just all, you know, hyperbole.
I'm sure FF Statistics has it.
I'm sure somebody out there has the ability to make a Doug Eddie trading card.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Tyler's already texting somebody. I can see it now. Thanks, Tyler.
I'm on the horn. I know somebody.
So
got a sticker guy. I bet he's got a card guy.
A card guy.
I know this guy that works at Tops. Yeah. Anywho, as Tyler would say, let's move on to some observations. What did you guys see in week 7? Talk to me, Tim. Week 7. What was good? What was bad? What made you puke in your mouth? What made you pant like a dog?
Okay, puke in my mouth. 17-point lead blown by the Eagles in the fourth quarter.
That'll be one.
Not Wentz's fault.
No, not Wentz's fault. But no. Well,
nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Almost threw a pick. Very next play. He forces it into double coverage instead of hitting the guy that's open in the flat, which gets you a first down, runs out of bounds, kills the clock, and you're that much closer to the end zone. And then after forcing the ball into double coverage is when the fumble happens and game's over. So not Wentz's fault to give up 17 points. So the defense goes into that prevent defense, which I don't care what team I'm watching. If I see a team go into a prevent defense,
that is garbage.
That is garbage. You don't start a game like that. You shouldn't end a game like that. You come out and you play D. Put your second stringers in. Let them play D. Let them rush. Let them blitz. Let them play man covers. Let them play zone coverage. You don't go into prevent defense. That's how other teams come back. I wish defensive coordinators would just get that out of their systems. Get that completely out of the playbooks, all that good stuff.
So I'll stay in that game. I've been super impressed with Alshon. You know, he's been back now for 3 games. He's scored in every game. He's got 4 touchdowns over the last 3. He's been soaking up a lot of targets from Wentz. Between him and Ertz, man, they are just eating in that passing game because Philadelphia right now is having a hard time running the football. They don't know what they want. If there's a team that should go trade for LeSean McCoy, it should be Philadelphia because Wendell Smallwood's not the answer. Sorry, Tyler, but Corey Clement, maybe not the answer there. So I think if they were to add a LeSean McCoy to go with Jeffrey and Ertz, man, that offense, I mean, they've been scoring a lot of points. That's not really the problem. But that could put them over the top offensively, at least. The line's been good. I mean, their defense has been shaky, as Tim knows. But but
their
Jeffrey
secondary is hot garbage.
Yeah, I mean, Jeffrey's been a complete alpha since he came back.
Yes he has. to the point where Aguilar is doing next to nothing compared to last year.
I think the whole Aguilar thing, I honestly think Jordan Matthews hurts him. Like, I just think the fact that Jordan Matthews is there, it just sucks the goodness of Aguilar. Like, when he stepped in the building, Aguilar just got the yips.
He's like, not this guy again. He was here my rookie year. Maybe that's it. Who knows? I want to bring up something. Andrew Luck, another 4 touchdowns today. He was your NFL leader for a few minutes until Mahomes night tonight. But in Dynasty, so going into this season, there was just a lot of questions about Andrew Luck. Is he going to throw a football again? Everyone was down on him in Dynasty.
Not me.
No, okay. Most people were down on him in Dynasty and Superflex. I traded Tom Brady and LeSean McCoy for Andrew Luck in a league that I took over in Bartab because I was like, you know what? So I was like, I need a younger quarterback. And you know what? I made it work. He had a contending team. And I don't think he ended up winning at all, but whatever. But Andrew Luck is back, guys. I mean, he's throwing the ball 50 times a game. He had a running back today in Marlon Mack that looked like a starting running back in the NFL. There was none of this, you know, Jordan Wilkins buzz or anything like that. It was nice to see Andrew Luck come back, not turn the ball over, be efficient. And, you know, I don't think he eclipsed 400 or 200 yards, but he had 4 touchdowns. So if you had to rank Andrew Luck right now in a Superflex Dynasty League, would he be back in your top 5?
I would have to say 4 to 8 or 9, around that range.
Is it just because there's so much goodness at quarterback right now?
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes, Wentz, I would probably put, oh God, Deshaun Watson up there. He's going to be up there for me.
Goff?
Goff would be above him. And, I mean,
Osweiler? Would
based on these two games, you would be like, man, this guy's really good. But
only in Brocktober. No, would
you put any rookies in there above him?
Baker?
God, all of them have had their issues, moments, right? But Rosen, I just love the way the ball comes out of his hand. The guy,
he's got a
watched
garbage
on Thursday.
And a garbage offense around him.
People are saying that he's this year's Goff. That next year is going to be if they get the right personnel there.
I like Leftwich going in as OC. You know, he's a Bruce Arians guy. Bruce Arians kind of mentored him. I love Leftwich as the offensive coordinator there starting now. And just watching Thursday night's game, just how tight his balls are and just how just how he's a young man.
We're just waiting for them to drop so he can be a grizzled veteran.
They're just so nice and taunt.
And then Darnold, just the poise he has for how young he is. I just think he's got it. You watch Darnold play and you just look at him and you're like, that dude's going to be really good. He just needs to get some talent around him. And then Baker, he's got that Russell Wilson edginess to him. A guy that's not scared to throw any type of ball. He doesn't care. I like that mentality. And then when we saw Josh Allen play, he's a guy that progressed. He showed he could run the ball. I've never seen somebody throw a ball that hard in my life. So
if you had to comp Rosen and Darnold to another current pro from what you've seen so far.
Darnold reminds me he's tougher because of the way he can kind of move around the pocket really well. From what I've seen, he can read the pocket well.
What about Wentz?
Yeah, I'd say a poor man's Wentz at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's not at that level yet, obviously.
But yeah, maybe Wentz is rookie year because Wentz had an up and down rookie year. And I mean, Wentz had that efficient like first 5 games his rookie year and then kind of fell off. And then, God, Rosen's a tough one because I'm just the way the spiral is so tight.
What about Matt Ryan?
Ooh. See, I was going to say a Phillip Rivers. He doesn't have the odd throwing motion.
Yeah.
But very accurate. He's going to be a pocket-style quarterback, not known to move a ton.
I like Matt Ryan. He stands tall in the pocket, a guy
he's
that...
He's accurate.
Yep, accurate, can make all the throws. And he's not a guy that he's going to wow you with the deep ball, but, I mean, the medium-deep passes, the average passes, all those passes that aren't deep passes, he just makes with ease.
I just asked because you comped Baker to Russell, and I like that one. I think he's Russell with Similar rookie, a little more fire.
Rookie year, Wilson.
Yeah. Similar, yeah. Russell. You know, Russell had that size, yellow, like I don't care. We're going to win this however we got to win this, and we're just going to get it done.
Did you see his face?
Baker's got that fire.
Oh, that during that field. I was looking at my cousin. I'm like, there's no way he makes this field goal. Like, Cannizzaro's not going to make this. And then did you see Baker's face? Like, he's like, oh, my God, did that really just happen? Are you freaking kidding me? And what's up with the Browns and all these overtime games? Just win a damn game
it's
in regulation.
It's not a Browns game if they're not making overtime. I thought they're going to tie it. And then when they kicked the game-winning field goal, I'm like, wow, this is not a Browns game. They didn't tie.
Yeah, the Chargers are classic. You know, no game is safe for the Chargers, it seems like. It seems like they can be up like 17 points in the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden someone comes back and makes it interesting. Sorry.
Mariota looked competent this week. That was one takeaway I took this week when I watched that game.
I think the arm's getting healthier.
Yep, and he looked like old Mariota. And when he threw that pick in the red zone.
First one ever.
Even the announcers are like, wow, that is not like him. He's very accurate in the he takes care of the ball in the red zone. Yep. And I liked what I saw out of Mariota, and he could be a good buy low. I mean, I think the whole season has gone rough for Mariota, and Doug, I know he was your MVP.
Yeah, my dark horse bold prediction. Yeah.
Yep. So you never know. Second half MVP could get that one.
If they award type things, such things, then
I think he's starting to get a better grasp of the new offense as well. And you're seeing him just be willing to just not just take off down the field, stop looking down the field, but he's willing to move now. He's willing to just go. He sees when the coverage is there and he says, okay, I'm not going to force something. I'll get what I can with my feet. And that's always been a weapon of his too. You saw him move out of the pocket when it was necessary today just to gain yardage, not to take the sack.
Him and Dak, they've been doing that a lot. Quarterbacks that don't have plays made for them to run, they're just natural. And that's what they needed to get out. They needed to get those plays where, like, okay, it's a QB run. And they finally just botched those and said, okay, just do you.
Yeah.
And the next player I hope that happens to is Deshaun Watson, a guy that they need to get those running plays for the quarterback out of there and just be like, hey, if it's not their run.
So
the injury last year, you saw that.
I'm going to put you guys on the spot. So Marcus Mariota and who's the other quarterback you just said? I literally just had a brain fart. Oh, Dak Prescott. So Marcus Mariota and Dak Prescott, super flex values. What player, wide receiver or running back, do you think you could trade straight up to get either one of those guys in a super flex?
Man, you are putting me on the spot.
I know. I was just thinking of it as you were talking. I'm like, that's an interesting question, because I think both of those guys are rock solid QB2s and super flex, but we know that on certain weeks they're going to have QB1 upside. So I think they're both perfect secondary guys on your super flex rosters. Do you think
So you're saying one player straight up?
One player.
Calvin Ridley.
Okay. So Calvin Ridley straight up for Prescott or Mariota. Okay.
I would do Calvin Ridley for not for Prescott. I wouldn't give up.
You don't like Dak?
No. Dak is inaccurate. He's the second coming of Donovan McNabb.
He's inaccurate?
He truly is.
That was a good one.
Boom.
I like it. So, I like it a lot.
What about Kerryon Johnson?
Yeah, that's out of the question now.
Just after one big game today, you think that he's gonna? You think this is the entryway for him to explode the rest of the season, Tyler? I know you're a Kerryon guy.
For people who liked him, like me, Kerryon is stepping into a different tier, to where it's getting harder to get him.
It's guys like you that had the belief in Kerryon that held him at such a high place that this is just solidifying. Seeing the day makes you realize, okay, I was right. Now I can properly appraise him like I've wanted to this whole time, and it makes other people have to pay up in order to get him. And it shows that Lions team, truthfully, who the most talented running back on their team is. They have to start giving him the work like he got today. Obviously, Doug, you brought up before we started recording that it wasn't Kerryon who got the touchdown, and that's got to be worrisome. Uh-huh. But Lions, give the kid some carries in by the goal line.
Let's see
what he can do.
Here's the thing. So we see this happen all the time. Like, we'll talk about it, and with the outcry for certain players to get used more, and it just doesn't happen. Now, I'm hoping that Matt Patricia, while learning under Bill Belichick, maybe
Fat Patricia.
Hey, be nice. I think that maybe he'll learn a little faster because he was under Bill, and Bill would kind of go with the hot hand. I mean, obviously, Sony Michel came out of nowhere, and he's getting 20 carries a game. Not anymore, unfortunately. No. But hopefully, I'm hoping that they turn the corner and they start to use Carryon as a feature type back. But I just don't know how stubborn Matt Patricia is going to be, and Jim Bob Cooter, who showed that he likes to use the triforce of Theo Riddick, Kerryon Johnson, and LeGarrette Blount, which, I mean, obviously we're fantasy and analysts, and that's the most annoying thing ever. But this is today's NFL. I mean, there's so very few bell cow backs that get 20 plus touches a game. I mean, you can count them on one hand, really. So as much as I would love to see that, I've always said with Kerryon that I think it's going to be a year or two. Maybe towards the end of the year we start to see it. I would say you could probably still buy low on him even after today's game, because you may have someone that sees, like, yeah, he's just gonna be part of a committee. And unfortunately in Dynasty, a lot of people, not unfortunately, I'll put it a different way. A lot of people want to win now, and they get impatient with their players, not thinking long term. So that's when you can capitalize on that. And I think that Kerryon Johnson is a good target still, even after today's game.
Let me ask you a question real quick. This goes to both of you. They're in a passing downs, you know, down in distance, and Theo Riddick's in the game. What are the Lions most likely doing?
Throwing it to Theo Riddick.
Okay. If they're in a short yardage, it could be second and one, but LeGarrette Blount's in, if he's going to get the ball, they're going to dive Blount. Mm-hmm. You could have Kerryon in both of those situations.
And they don't know what you're going to do.
And they don't, yeah. I mean, you could run the draw Kerryon in the long distance. You could throw it to Kerryon in the long distance. You'd be close.
Well, the same thing could be said. So we talked about Sony Michel. So his percentage, if he's in the game, he touched the ball like 80% of the time in the last month. So if you know Sony Michel's in the game, he's most likely getting a handoff. They weren't using him in the passing game all that often. So sometimes when you can even script it and teams know that the ball's coming, there's going to be certain players in certain situations that the coaches don't care. They're just going to try to force it down your throat. Like, hey, you see it, stop it.
So I do agree with the Patriots and how James White, I mean, he's such a good pass catcher. The different thing about Riddick and James White is Theo Riddick's going to be 29. So he's getting up there in age. I think James White's like 25. He's still pretty young, maybe 26.
Yep.
That is what helps me with Kerryon and liking him more, is because you got LeGarrette Blount. He's gone next year. And Theo Riddick has had tons of injuries, and he's getting up there in age, which helps Kerryon a lot. Kerryon could be the only running back by next year, midseason, if Riddick gets hurt again. But, I mean, Kerryon is just, everything is looking up for him, which is nice.
And yeah.
When you're playing against the Pats, your best cover linebacker and or safety are on Gronk most games. Gronk wasn't available today.
Sure.
So that leaves the best cover linebacker or safety, who would normally catch that running back, in this case James White, out of the backfield, covering or possibly double covering a tight end, which leaves James White on your secondary coverage guy. You know, it makes things a little bit easier for James White. So, you know, if James White's in the game, you have a good feeling. Yeah, they're going to swing him out. They're going to throw it to him. Screen game type stuff like that. But he's not being covered by the best cover guys either.
So, yeah. And going back to Kerryon and him buying, I sold Leonard Fournette straight up for Kerryon. I posted on Twitter as a pretty hot debate on the whole thing.
Got a lot of reactions. That was kind of cool to see.
I was very shocked. It got a lot of hits. And I literally put it up there just showing just how I'm done with Fournette. Like, I liked Fournette in the beginning of the year. I thought he was going to be a guy who rushed for, I think my projection was 1,600 yards and a bunch of touchdowns. But man, just the health. He just seems like a guy that can't stay healthy. He's a guy that, yeah, when he's on the field, he dominates. He is a different beast when he's on the field. Just his style. I hope he does stay healthy, and I hope he has a good career, because he's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I was done with the headache. I was done with the, okay, what are you doing for me now? I need, as a team where I'm winning, and I needed help at running back, and I couldn't wait for him to be healthy anymore. I didn't have his handcuff, and everybody that knew I needed his handcuff was holding the handcuff for a high price, so I had to sell Fournette instead, which I got Kerryon straight up for him, and yeah, it worked out for me this week. We'll see in other weeks, but I'm still happy with the trade. Kerryon's 21 years old. He's one of the youngest players in this draft. I like his future. Yeah, I sold low, but I went for a player that I like a lot, and that's what this is about.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with going and getting your guy. And if you have to overpay sometimes, I mean, that's cool. At the end of the day, if you can lay your head down and sleep at night, cool. That's all that matters. Yep.
And another, and I want to say, there's a couple other trades I made this week. I want to bring those up. I know we're kind of in the midst of the trade season. I traded Fournette again and a 2020 first for McCaffrey and Dante Moncrief.
Moncrief, let's go. He had a good game today.
He did. And I like that deal. I have Kamara and Todd Gurley at running back still, so I figured, why not add McCaffrey?
Well, that sucks.
And then I also made this deal, which was one of the closest deals I've made this year, even crazier than the Fournette carry-on deal. I traded Baker and Cortland Sutton for Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller, and it's the same team I got carry-on on now. It's a winning team. I needed help now.
I don't hate it.
No.
Yeah, and it was literally on DTC's calculator. It was nearly just spot on perfect 50-50. Maybe a little more towards the Watson side. I put a poll up. I think it ended up being 52-48 in favor of the Watson side. I mean, I love trades like that where it's 50-50 works out for both teams.
Mm-hmm. It's just at that point it's just a player preference.
Yep, and you guys all know my love for Fuller, so that's
that Notre Dame love runs deep, so deep. I saw Michael Floyd catch a pass today, and I thought of you, Tyler.
I saw that too, and I got all giddy.
There's a Michael Floyd sighting today.
I got all giddy, no joke. I was like, ooh.
I legit thought of you. I was like, Tyler's probably smiling right now.
Oh, I was so happy. Not only is he from Minnesota, but he played for Notre Dame. It's a double whammy.
Oh man, Tim, you got some trades to go over.
Yeah, you guys got any trades?
I got a couple trades that I made in the past couple weeks. The first one was last week before the Chubb news, because I have Chubb on this team, but I was a little bit RB needy at the time. I gave up Devontae Parker, who we discussed earlier, and what is projected to be a late first round pick for Jordan Howard.
Okay.
You know, obviously, I think if I had Chubb available at the time, I probably don't make a move for Jordan Howard, but. I didn't believe, what we saw last week out of Jordan Howard was going to continue to happen. But obviously, as it gets colder, I think they're going to start running Jordan Howard a little bit more. And then about a week and a half ago, I traded Ronald Jones, Aguilar, a second and a third next year for Will Fuller and a first round pick. We talked about this earlier in the league, in the podcast. If you know a guy who is extremely, extremely high on a very specific player, in this case, Ronald Jones.
Attack.
What are you trying to say?
He can go and make a move.
Huh? Hey, he scored his first pro touchdown today.
He looks better than Barber.
I think
this was a week after he was first active for a game. Mm-hmm. And so he kept hounding me about Ronald Jones. Come on, let me get Ronald Jones. I need a receiver in this league.
So you traded Ronald Jones for what?
Ronald Jones, Nelson Aguilar, a second and a third for a first round pick in 2020, and Will Fuller. Will Fuller was dinged up, wasn't playing that week. He's super high on Ronald Jones.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'd go Will Fuller side on that one, even though I love Rojo.
I got Will Fuller.
That 2020 first could be potential gold.
And it could be potential garbage. But we don't know.
It'll be good.
Somebody's going to fall positive. In love with somebody in that class, and I'll sell it for a boatload.
Yeah, yeah. Think positive. You sell it like a week before after the draft, and you're fine.
Yeah.
You're good
yeah.
to go. One of my observations was, we talk about the tight end position because, let's be honest, the tight end position from Dynasty is a tough one because there's not a lot of points being scored. Okay. But we've got two young tight ends that are balling out. It's George Kittle. And it's David Njoku. They both scored touchdowns today.
Probation. Don't want to be talking about that.
They both scored touchdowns today. I think this is going to be bold, but with Gronk's injury history.
Can we throw OJ Howard in there, please?
And not yet. So with Gronk's injury history and his ineffectiveness, I would not be shocked by the end of the season if we start to see people do dynasty rankings and put Kittle and Njoku above Gronk. What do you guys think on that?
I could see it. Kittle especially. I think Kittle's top four in yardage.
Going into this week, he was, and then he had another almost 90 yards this week with a touchdown.
Yeah,
so he's
going to
be
100.
Like, yeah, so he's going to be like second. He's going to be at least second, I think, after this week, which is crazy.
Kittle looks like a monster. I liked him a lot coming into this year, but he's even impressed me to the point where it's like, I was low on him.
I've been huge on Kittle and Njoku, so for me, this is a personal, like, I'm loving what I'm seeing type of thing. And Njoku, I mean, we talk, if you're in a win-now team and you have Njoku, congratulations, because his schedule the rest of the year is cupcake.
Amazing.
Cake.
Yeah.
Like a cake.
Yeah. Ugh, you friggin' kidding me. Sorry. Tyreek Hill touchdown. Boom.
Hey, remember when you traded him to me?
No, it's not that. I'm against him in a big money league this week, so it's... Anywho. At least it was a short one. And he scored at home. You know, he scored 20 of his 28 career touchdowns on the road.
He likes,
He's like the Ben Roethlisberger of wide receivers, but opposite.
You want to know why? He likes beer thrown on him.
That's a bad comparison.
He likes beer thrown on him. That's why.
Maybe. So, yeah, I think Kittle and Njoku are the future at the position.
Yeah, and O.J. Howard.
Thank you.
He's not on
their
level
yet. I like Kittle. There is just something about David Njoku. When I watch him, I think this guy is just beginning to just...
He's
just
barely
seeing the
scratched.
First layer of what he's going to be. I think David Njoku could be an absolute monster.
Aaron Hernandez without the problems.
Yeah, absolutely. He's so athletic. He's got such good hands. He's going to be a problem for so many teams to cover down the seam. He's going to be so good.
Njoku reminds me of somebody. It's like the girl who acts like she isn't as hot as she really is. Like, Njoku doesn't realize how good he truly is.
So
I think he's
going
to
take those glasses off his face and he's going to wave his hair.
She's nerdy and then she gets all dressed up and you're like, wow, Freddie
Prinze
Jr.
comes up to her. He's got the covered overalls.
She's a smoke show. What happened here?
Every other guy's like, what am I doing? I screwed up.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield, I bet you can't get David to go to the prom with you.
I've heard some people compare him to a young Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultra athletic is just going to be uncoverable by linebackers and safety. I mean, just he's going to be really,
you know,
really, really good.
You know who reminds me of Travis Kelce, a young Travis Kelce? Dallas Goedert.
Okay. Or Goddard.
Yeah.
It's French, Tim.
We're pronouncing everything French today, okay?
Uh-huh. Dallas Goedert scored a touchdown today. Feet crepes for
French.
Everyone.
He's French Canadian.
So he's like half of each. He's on the fence.
He went to
just
school
like
South Dakota, so yeah, it's pretty close to Canada.
He has looked okay. I think. I mean, obviously he's a rookie. I'd like to see him grow a little bit more.
He's 6'6"
next year. not physically. Like his ability and his decision making on the field. You know where and when to sit down in zone coverage type of things. But he's a very athletic individual himself.
Yeah. I think he tries to make silly catches because he makes them look easy.
Speaking of which, did you see just Joe Mixon and his one-handed grabs today?
So Joe Mixon, just watching him play is so fun. He's the thing that I've noticed from last year to this year. Last year, his head was down a lot, tail between the legs. This year, he has so much enthusiasm. He is amped up constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you just said, like he wants it. He wants, he fights for
the
extra yard.
Ball.
He is heads in it. I love seeing that. And Mixon just keeps rising in my rankings.
I love me some Joe Mixon. I think he's got the potential to be a top five running back here. I think by the end of this year or going into next year, I think you're going to see him just keep rising because we talked about it. Guys that touched the ball 20 times. He's the only show in town. I mean, even when Giovanni Bernard was there, he was getting the majority of the usage. So I love Mixon. We all know that the talent is there. So, I have him in a couple dynasty leagues, thankfully. So I'm definitely banking on him ascending to the next level, if you will.
Yeah. One of my last takes I want to do is we're talking about running backs a lot, is running back rankings at the beginning of next year. I'm so interested to see how much they change, where Dalvin Cook and Fournette will actually be. Mm-hmm. And is Barkley going to be
number
top?
One.
Is he going to be number one?
He's
is
trending
Gurley,
that way.
Where is Gurley going to be ranked because he's still dominant. Like Gurley has, I think, what, 12 touchdowns?
He had 13? He had three more today. He's on pace to break the touchdown record. I think he's on pace for 31 on the season, and he's on pace for 2,300 yards. He's on pace to be LaDainian Tomlinson. And at his peak.
I don't have knowledge of Mark Ingram's contract, but let's say Mark Ingram goes bye-bye, and we saw what Alvin was doing before Mark came back this year. What's that do for Alvin if he's the, you know...
I love Alvin Kamara, and honestly, huge buy-low window right now. I mean, he has struggled, but he looks amazing with every touch he gets. When he was running the ball, Mark Ingram is a guy that's a try-hard guy to me. A guy that just powers through. He goes full speed into the hole. Kamara, it's like he's just finesse. Floating. He's
that
floating.
That last game before Mark Ingram came back, Alvin Kamara looked like he was from another planet.
Yep. And
no
he
one
floats.
On the field was even comparable to what he wanted to do. He did what he wanted to do.
It's like in Madden when there's a glitch and they're just floating and frozen. That's what Kamara looks like in real life. It's just like floating.
Like that Le'Veon Bell glitch where he like took the run and then he was automatically upfield like 50 yards out of nowhere. And everyone was like, what the hell?
Like he transported.
Yeah.
DBZ
Alvin Kamara
style.
Consistently plays the Michael Vick experience.
What Michael Vick experience are we talking about? Got to be specific on that one.
We're starting to go off the rails here. Any more observations, you guys, from a fun-filled Week 7?
No, it's just good to watch some football. And man, we are halfway done. Enjoy every little bit of football because when it's done, we're all gonna look back and be like, "Hot damn, it's gone!" Like,
yeah, I mean, we're almost halfway through the season.
I realized that, and the fantasy season week 8 next week.
That's halfway to the championship, right?
We're over halfway done with the regular season for fantasy, which is nuts.
Which at this point you should know if you're a buyer or a seller at this point.
Trade deadlines are coming. Figure out if you're a buyer or seller. Like Doug said, you should probably have a pretty good feel for where you're at. And like Tyler said earlier, if you have a guy out there that is not on your roster and that you just like, if you have to overpay a little bit, go get your guy. Fantasy is more fun when you have your guys.
Absolutely.
Yep. Don't play with people Way you don't want to have on your team. Go get your guys.
And man, just going off of what Doug said, if you actually don't know if you're a buyer or a seller, if you're kind of like a little stubborn and say no,
ask somebody
winning this. Yeah, go to your power rankings on MFL. Check those out. They will tell you where your team lies. They will be honest with you. If your record is a pretty decent record, but your points for suck and your points against are low. Maybe you're not the best team you think you are.
Squeaking out some wins.
So maybe you need to kind of look at your team and be like, okay, I'm not going to win the playoffs unless I keep this run going or my run of luck. Yeah, just power rankings are a nice tool. I like to check them every Monday night after the week rolls over and just say, okay, all right, I'm up here. I'm down here. Let's see what I can do. Let's make some trades.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to reach out and maybe reach out to someone on Twitter or someone that you trust their opinion and be like, hey, can you look at this team and tell me, like, what should I do with this team? I think everyone in the community is going to be pretty honest with you. Be like, hey, you know what? You have some players that have good second half schedules or maybe they're in a line for more touches. Like, you should probably try to tough it out. Or they're going to be like, yeah, sell what you got. Keep these core players. And just move on because this year you're not going to do anything. Because we all know that when we play fantasy football, we're all waiting for the next big thing. Like, oh, I got this guy. I know he's going to break out. And then he never does. And you're like, fuck, I should have sold him. So it takes a lot sometimes to show some humility and be like, this roster, I just need to blow it up. So don't be afraid to reach out is all I'm saying. So I want to give us a big shout out to our sponsors today. You heard our Trophy Smack ad. Use code DHHRING to get a free fantasy football ring when you order a trophy. Free shipping, which is always awesome. We also have the Sitter Start app, so make sure you go on the Google Play Store as well as the Apple iTunes Store. Download that. They're doing over 11,000 comparisons a week, and they're over 70% accurate with their Sitter Starts. You can also find this podcast on there as well as different articles, news blurbs. All your injury updates will also be on there as well. And last but not least, we want to make sure you go to patreon.com/DynastyHHPod because I think we only need one more patron. And then you guys are going to get an extra podcast every week. Is that correct, Tyler?
That is totes correct.
It's totes my goats.
It's totes correct. Yeah, one extra episode per week. after we are done recording this, we would hop on and do another podcast of your questions you have for us, and we would answer the patrons' questions.
Mm-hmm. And if we don't have questions, then we'll freestyle and talk about the stupidest things you've ever heard of. No, just kidding. We'll answer all your questions.
We're not kidding.
Yeah, we'll probably... you'll probably hear some fun stuff out of it. Let's put it that way. So make sure patreon.com/DynastyHHPod for that. I have been your host, Doug Eddy. You can reach me at TheFantasyFather on Twitter. You can have Tyler. You can have Tyler. He's free.
Nope. Oh, yeah, not for sale.
Not for sale. You can reach Tyler at DHH_Tyler. I always forget
Still.
These. Hey, look at that. And then you can reach Tim at DHH_Tim.
That is correct.
Oh!
And you can have Tyler. If you have a Will Fuller share, you can have Tyler.
For like 10 minutes.
That's why you'd only need like two.
That's all I need.
That's fine.
No weird stuff.
No weird stuff. Define weird. Anyway, that's going to wrap us up until week 8. We will see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.